I'd like to call this meeting to order. This is the Senate State Affairs Committee hearing. Today's date is April 12, 2012. The time is 9:05 in the morning. Appreciate the members. Hopefully this will be a fairly quick meeting. We have with us Senator Meyer, Senator Kukesh, and myself, Walikowski. I have two bills before us today. The first is CS for House Bill 281, which declares March 29 as Vietnam Veterans Day. The second is House Bill 190, which amends allowable absence statutes for the permanent fund dividend. We heard both of these bills yesterday. I want to thank the committee members again for your time. I know everyone's very hectic this time of year. We have a lot of bills coming over from the House, and a lot of them come to this committee. So I appreciate you sticking with this and taking the time to help us try to get these bills heard. Okay, first up is House Bill 281, which declares March 29 of each year as Vietnam Veterans Day. Can I get a motion to adopt CS for House Bill 281, version I?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. And we heard from Aaron Schroeder yesterday with Representative Thomas' office.
Is there an objection?
Is there an objection? Thank you. Thank you, Albert. Representative Senator Kukesh. I don't see an objection. Actually, I'll object for the purposes of discussion and let Aaron just tell us briefly what it is. We went over it yesterday, but Aaron, if you could put yourself on the record, tell us what the CS does.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I'm Aaron Schroeder, staff for Representative Thomas. Two changes in the proposed CS today. Both appear in the title. On line one, March 30th would be changed to the 29th, and the welcome home would be deleted. So it would read March 29th of each year as Vietnam Veterans Day. And on line five, the 30th would be changed to the 29th, and welcome home would be deleted out of line four.
Great. Are there questions for the bill sponsor? I don't see any. I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection to adopting the CS? I don't see any. Bill has a zero fiscal note. What's the will of the committee?
Move it, Mr. Chairman.
So I have a motion to move CS for House Bill 281, version I, from committee with individual recommendations and attach zero fiscal note.
That's my motion, Mr.
Chairman. Okay, thank you. Senator Meyer. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? I don't see any. The bill is moved. Thank you. Okay, next up we'll take up House Bill 190, which proposes to amend laws related to PFD allowable absences. We have a new version. We have a new CS before us. It is version K. Do I have a motion to adopt this for discussion purposes? I will object so that we can discuss this. As you'll recall, yesterday we began to consider the concept of putting dividends for individuals who have been absent from the state for many years into an escrow account of sorts. Ms. Bitney, director of the Permanent Fund Dividend Division, indicated that tens of thousands of dividends have been issued to individuals living out of state. She also said that at one time it appeared that only 80 of these individuals had actually returned to Alaska out of the thousands of people who had received the dividends and who had lived outside for an extended period of time. I believe she's been developing some new statistics for us to consider, and I would like to hear from her before we provide an overview of the new CS. Is Ms. Bitney on the line? Is she here? Let's take a brief at ease. Let's go back on the record. Why don't we get an overview of the CS from Kendra Kloster. Kendra, if you come forward, put yourself on the record.
For the record, Kendra Kloster, staff to Senator Walikowski. The CS in front of you is version K. So based on some of the numbers that Deb Bidney have given and some of the suggestions that came out regarding the number of PFDs that are being given out to individuals who are out of Alaska and not returning to the state. We had drafted this version to create a sort of escrow account to hold the PFDs until the individuals come back to the state when they would be given those PFDs. The big substantive changes are in Section 6. This is the escrow account that we essentially are creating here. So for years, if you're claiming an allowable absence for years 1 through 5, you will receive the permanent fund as normal. Once you claim an allowable absence after year 5, your dividend will be held here in the state until the individual returns. So if you claim an allowable absence for an additional from year 6 to year 10, we will hold that PFD until you return to the state. So that is Section 6 that we are creating there. And so we have a number of conforming changes, which include Section 1, where we are saying they are conditional eligible under 4323009. That is the sort of kind of escrow account that we are creating that it's referring to. Section 2, that is referring to the 5-year rule that is similar to what we have in the previous version. Section 3 is also a conforming change where we are referring to holding the PFD in a sort of escrow account until the individual returns. Section 4, this is something that we had done in a previous version as well. This is excluding the military from the 10-year rule, so for the military that are out serving, they can still receive their PFDs. Section 5, this is also part of the previous bill. This is putting the 5-year rule that we have in regulation now into statute. And this is where we come to Section 6, which I had discussed, and let me know if you have any questions. This is kind of the big substantive changes here.
Any questions? Okay, I don't see any. We have Lisa Kirsch online from Legislative Legal. Lisa, are you there?
Yes, this is Lisa Kirsch.
Do you have any testimony you'd like to give, or are you just available for questions?
I'm available for questions.
Any questions for our legislative attorneys? Okay, I don't see any. And let's take a... there's Ms. Bitney, just in time. Take a seat. No.
Thanks for being
right. It's a hectic time of year. We appreciate you coming by. And I really appreciate you and your office working with our office on this and trying to resolve some of the issues that we had. There were some questions yesterday that members had. Because we're removing the 10-year rule where if you receive allowable absences, you get them for 10 years. But after 10 years, you no longer get them. And there were questions about how many people actually had. A number of years ago, the legislature made the choice to adopt this 10-year rule. And now we're taking that off the books. And so a question came up of how many people had actually received or how many dividends were issued by people out of state after the 10-year rule. And do you have some numbers for us?
I have, for the record, this is Debbie Bitney, Director with the Permanent Fund Dividend Division. Mr. Chairman, I do have some numbers. I was given a list by staff, and I came up with as many as I could. The database we have is quite difficult to query sometimes. So what we came up with were some figures, and I think I'll just throw them out here so that you have all of them. Okay. We were able to calculate that since the inception of the program in 1982, we have issued 321,600 dividends to people who were not in Alaska, okay, for all of the absence reasons. And that was with no regard to how long they'd been gone, okay? The total of those dollars was $424 million, so quite a chunk of change there. And I was able to determine that since 1995, because we weren't able to query back any farther than that because the data gets a little iffy when you start going back that far, and I wanted to be as accurate as possible. So from 1995 until now, so in the last 12 years, we have paid 900 individuals $16 million who were out of Alaska 10 years or more. And when I looked at the same group of people who had been out 10 years or more, looked at 5 years or more, we were able to determine that 11,000 people were paid dividends totaling $116 million who were out of Alaska 5 years or longer. I was able to determine that to the closest estimate we can come up with, 81 people who were in that category of people who lived out of state for 10 years or more since 1995, 81 of them have returned and claimed a dividend as a resident of the state without an allowable absence. So we think they're back.
So is that 81 of the 11,000?
That is 81 of, yes, it is, because, well, actually, no, that's not true. I was looking at the 10 years absent for this universe of people coming back. So 5 years, I did not look at that. I do know that the longer a person is gone, the probability of their returning does diminish. So I think that the numbers when you go back to 5 years might be a little higher, but I don't have specifics.
Okay, anything else? Any other numbers you have?
No. That was all I had for now.
Okay, any questions for Ms. Bitney?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just so I make sure I understand. So 81 returned after a 10-year period?
We queried the database and asked it to give us a universe of people who had claimed allowable absence for 10 years or longer. And out of that universe of people, we were able to determine that 81 of them returned. And so that would be 81 of approximately 900 people.
Okay. And then, Mr. Chair, you said you didn't know for 5 years yet how many return after 5 years?
No, I'm sorry, I do not. Through the chair, Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chair, that's a pretty low percent, 81 out of 900.
Yes. Yes, it is. Other questions? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Bitney. Okay, let's okay. Well, yeah, I guess I'll ask your opinion of the CS. Any?
Mr. Chairman, the CS that I received most recently last night is something that the division has looked at before and something that they thought was absolutely doable with a little programming, and administratively, it doesn't create a huge burden for the division. There will be a few more cases that we review each year, but I think that in combination with moving these five-year regulations into statute, that will offset some of the new cases that we would look at as a result of waiving the 10-year rule for military. So I think it's kind of a wash as far as impact on the division. So really my opinion.
Okay. And the goal of the PFD is, you know, Alaskans love it. We all, but we want people to come who are, more people to get it who are genuinely planning on coming back to Alaska. And I'll just say for the record that, that's the whole intent of this bill is, you know, if we've got hundreds of millions, $100 million going out of state, a few people coming back, sort of defeats the goal of the permanent fund. We want that money spent here in the state, and that's one of the and we want Alaskans getting it, Alaskans who've lived here. But at the same time, protecting, ensuring that those who are serving overseas continue to be eligible, or who are serving in the military continue to be eligible and continue to be entitled to receive this. Thank you very much, Ms. Bidney. Okay, let's to ask Representative Feige to come forward. Representative Feige, do you have you had an opportunity to review the CS?
I received the CS this morning. And for the record, Representative Eric Feige, District 12. I did have a chance to look over it, and I do have an opinion.
What is your opinion?
Keep in mind that the original intent of this legislation, when it started on the House side, was to provide for folks, Alaskan residents, and folks that had grown up here in the state, was to provide a means for them to be able to collect their permanent fund dividend during a military career. With the version K before us, I think it will be perceived as, although you're putting it in an escrow account and holding it until they ostensibly return, it will be perceived as you taking away that money from them in the present. There is no provision in the bill for accounting for time value of money. There's no, they don't get any interest accumulating on that dividend, whereas if they had the money to use in the present, they would be able to get full value out of it. I think the major point of the bill as it developed, and putting funds into an escrow was an option that we considered as we were putting the bill together, and we felt it was simply just, it would be too complicated. It leaves something to be done in following years. I think by establishing and tightening and putting them in statute, the requirements for defining the intent to return, you're going to be able to knock out a lot of those people sooner, and the people that you will end up paying dividends to will in fact be, you know, part of those folks that are going to return. So the money will be dispersed. It will be dispersed in the present to people that are deserving, as opposed to money being held. And I think the bill, as we had put it out, as we had sent it over to your body, adequately covered the intent to return issue.
Okay, questions from the committee?
I have one.
Yes, Senator Kukesh.
Are there any other changes that have been done on this side in any of the committees that would require you to go back to the House for confirmation of the bill or changes?
The one version that I discussed with the chairman, Senator Kukesh, through the chair, was reinstituting the 10-year rule, but only for reinstituting the 10-year rule, but leaving the exemptions available for members of Congress, for military, and I believe my aide had also discussed the governor's representative in Washington, D.C., the intent being all of those three classes of folks or categories of authorized absences are all authorized absences that are people that are serving our state.
My point is I don't want to have to send this back to the House for concurrence. Mm-hmm. Are there other changes than this one? If we made this change, you're going to have to go back for concurrence in the House.
That is correct.
Are there any other changes in this that would make you go back right now, other than this one?
None, I don't believe so, no.
Okay, so if we adopt this version without the amendment in the Senate, it's done. I mean, if your bill is done and signed, ready for signature of the governor, we don't have to go back for concurrence of the House. If we make this change now, you're going to have to go back to concurrence.
That's correct.
I don't want to have to go back to concurrence. I'm trying to get to the point of, other than this change, do you have to go back to concurrence for anything else?
Not that I'm aware, Senator. Okay.
Thank you.
Other questions for Representative Feige?
Mr. Chairman, I think Senator Kukish is trying to help you, Representative Feige. And I don't know if there was any other changes made to the bill except what we're proposing here. It is interesting to see that not many people come back to Alaska after a 10-year period. I guess it'd be nice to see how many actually come back after a 5-year period. And we don't have that data yet, Mr. Chairman, so I don't know.
That's true.
I don't know what you want to do. It's a good bill. I would like to, yes. Senator Kukish said, like, keep it moving.
Yes, Senator.
I want to keep this bill moving. I like the original intent. I don't want to have to go back to concurrence unless you think you can get it if we get it through the process and get it back in time for Sunday's adjournment. I like the intention of the bill. I want to adopt it. I don't know if I want to right now vote for the bill as it is coming out of committee, even though I didn't object to the adoption of the CS. I'm trying to figure out where I should be on this. I wanted input from you on terms of the change we're making.
Senator Kukesh, to the chair, I think if this version K gets adopted and passed out of the Senate, then I would probably recommend non-concurrence, and then it would go to conference committee on the House side.
Do we have time, though? Is there another committee referral?
I think this is the only committee of referral.
Just thinking out loud.
And, Mr. Chairman, if yes. I may, the statistics that Mrs. Bitney spoke of, there has been nothing in statute pertaining to the intent to return, other than some resident, you know, some you got to be in the state for 72 hours every 2 years. And those, you know, the other requirements have always been in regulation and always subject to appeal. So I think by putting the requirements for the intent to return into statute, you're going to have a lot less people applying, because it's going to be very clear to them that they don't necessarily qualify for the permanent fund dividend as we have determined here.
Senator Passman, we're discussing CS for House Bill number 190. We have version K before us. The essence of the changes are that we have a provision in the bill that says if people are gone more than 5 years in the state, then their money goes into an escrow account. And when they return to the state of Alaska, they would get that money. There was testimony that there were 11,000 people who were paid $116 million who were out of Alaska 5 years or longer. Since 1995, we have paid 900 individuals $16 million who were out for 10-plus years. Of that, 981 returned. And the committee is just discussing and trying to figure out what the appropriate policy would be. And any changes that we make would have required concurrence by the House. So if any changes at all, and I believe we had a backslash Y. Did we adopt that?
For discussion purposes.
Backslash Y. Okay. So, well, there's two versions. There's a K version. Let's go off the record real quick. Okay, we're back on the record.
No, we already have this before you left.
So we're having a discussion in the committee and just trying to figure out what the best policy for the state would be. Senator Pasadena, do you have some? Are you up to speed on this? Do you have some questions or comments?
Well, obviously, the information that, as I understand, has come out is that for these individuals that have been gone for 10 years or more, that over 90% of them never come back. And so that is a substantial problem in my mind. And, you know, so it's staring us right in the face. And, you know, we have a bill that, you know, it's, I guess there's that concern that you slow down a bill that may be very worthwhile, but then at the same time we run into this huge problem of this 90%+ failure rate, and how do we do that? And I guess ultimately, you know, would the other body have any problem concurring to the extent, I know you can't speak for the other body, but, you know, why wouldn't the advocacy on the other side be that if there's a 90% failure rate that they wouldn't concur that there should be some type of an escrow? And so I guess I'm just trying to develop the idea at the present time.
And Senator Pasadena, through the chair, it's certainly as the statistics on the face, sure, I would have some concern about that as well. But the problem is that, one, the statistics include years where we didn't have any kind of language in statute that specified or defined the intent to return. And that's one of the things we're seeking to do with this bill, is to give the division much better backup, if you will, to be able to start denying those permanent funds, permanent fund dividends, based on the criteria for intent to return. What we expect to be able to do with this bill is first of all, after you've exceeded the 5-year presumption that you'll return, starting with year 6, it's now in statute that the presumption is that you're not coming back. So you have to rebut that presumption. The criteria for that is, a large part of it is laid out in the bill, and the division is going to be able to knock out a lot of those people much earlier on. Plus the fact that it's in statute, people applying are going to look at that and say, I'm not going to be able to fool them on this one, and they simply won't be applying. As to the statistics, none of that was in place in previous years, you know, going back over the entire history of the permanent fund dividend. So I'm not sure that although it's a concern, don't get me wrong, it is, to put too much weight into those statistics, I think you have to make sure that it's a valid statistic before you start relying too heavily on it.
Let me just note the record, and I don't know that I recognized your presence, Senator Pasadena, and Senator Geisel's also joined us, and has your question been answered?
Well, I guess I understand what Representative Feige is indicating. I was just, you know, possibly if the people from the permanent fund were here, if they could indicate to me if they believe that this is going to increase or lessen the failure rate from 90% to something that is even more tolerable. In other words,
sure.
You know, so.
Before we move on, so let's, Deb, we'll bring you up in just a second. Senator Kukesh, did you have a question?
I just want to follow up just for the benefit of Senator Pasadena and Senator Geisel. My concern was, when you have 3 days left in a session, whether or not putting this on it doesn't give this bill enough time to finish, because I really like the merits of the bill, the original bill. I also like the merits of the committee substitute, but I don't want to put the committee substitute on this bill and kill it, because there may not be enough time to go through rules and on this side a floor vote and then back to the other side for concurrence. That's my only concern.
And I'll just say, and you raise great points, and I actually sponsored this identical bill in the Senate. We had some concerns. We wrestled with this issue. We worked with Representative Feige's office on this issue, trying to figure out, because the problem is when you remove that 10-year 10-year rule, which we're doing, you potentially open up the floodgate for people to live out of state and get the permanent fund dividend check for much longer than that. And so that's the tension that's going on here. And what we're essentially doing, yeah, we're putting this 5-year rule in place, but that's already the rule. And you still have people who are collecting dividend checks who don't live in Alaska, quite frankly. And so because we're removing that 10-year rule, which shuts the door and says, you know what, if you haven't been in Alaska for 10 years, you're probably not coming back. And the proof is shown in the statistics, which shows that 90% of them don't come back. So I think by pulling the string in one direction, removing the 10-year rule, this is sort of the counter on the other side to protect and help protect Alaskans' dividend checks, really. It's a good debate. I appreciate the discussion.
Could I say something?
Yeah.
Just want to say again, the merits on both sides are great. I'm just worried about the time.
And I agree with you on time, except we're potentially putting a policy in place that's going to open the door to allow Alaskans to live out of state for decades and never return to the state and keep receiving permanent fund dividend checks, with knowing 90% of them are likely not to come back. So I agree with you, Representative
Kukesh. One more point, though. Your amendment doesn't stop that.
Well, it says if you don't come back, you don't get your check.
I know, but your amendment doesn't really stop that.
If you don't come back and reestablish residency, you don't get your permanent fund check. So I would say that's an extremely strong incentive for people to come back and spend their money here in Alaska. Reestablish residency, get their money, spend it here in Alaska.
Your amendment, as I see it, is just to make sure things go into an escrow account.
Yes.
And that's the basis of it.
But in order to get that, you have to actually come back and reestablish residency in the state. So, Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, a couple questions. Number one, I guess I would like to hear again from Ms. Bitney if the bill itself does tighten it up enough to prohibit some of the things that you're concerned about, and I am too. You know, somebody living in Arizona for 15 years collecting a PFT bothers me somewhat. I lost my train of thought there. I think I would like to see if it does tighten it up enough.
Deb, could you come up back up?
My other question, Mr. Chairman, is what happens to that money in the escrow account when they don't come back? And maybe you've addressed that in here.
For the record, Debbie Bitney, Director with the Permanent Fund Dividend Division. Mr. Chairman, I've been listening to the conversation, and I would like to start with when I was approached by the sponsor of the bill, Representative Feige's office. They had an idea that, frankly, it was a good idea, but to get to that, the way they had started wasn't going to work. So I worked with their office to create an environment where the division could do a better job of determining whether or not a person actually intends to return. Right now, as you can see, we don't do a great job because the rules don't really exist. They're in regulation. They were put there by the division because they were trying to solve this problem. The regulations, however, are not statutes, and they are very weak. Okay? So when we apply those regulations to a particular applicant's case, it's subject to quite a bit of argument by the applicant. Okay, and at an appeal, at a formal appeals level, you know, they can explain away all their reasons why they were not able to come back to meet, because we generally hold them generally to a 30-day and 5-year requirement. However, it's not firm. And by putting those regulations into statute, and actually we pay a lot of the people who don't come back for as many as 30 days and 5 years because they're able to show extenuating circumstances. You know, everybody has reasons. And So I worked with Representative Feige to attempt to give the division the tools to do a better job and to reduce the number of people that are paid year after year after year based on simply having paper ties to the state. So, and making, you know, an attempt to return, but not a, you know, not a mandated period of time other than the 72 hours in 2 years, which also is kind of an issue because it is waived at times of national emergency for members of the military who are deployed to war zone. So there are, as this war has gone on longer and longer, there are more and more people actually being paid that haven't come back because they were under fire. And actually the amendment in, that is here doesn't really change that. The division feels that by putting these regulations in statute, we will be able to do a far better job of determining who has intent. We would create regulations that would add criteria that everyone would understand, and it would count things like, you know, are you participating in Alaska politics? Are you voting? Not just are you registered to vote? You know, and it would be kind of, we're envisioning a point system, and, you know, the people who don't have the ties or take the actions in the state wouldn't score, and they'd be denied at 5 years. I think that's really all I have to say.
Senator Maher.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, my other question had to do with the escrow itself. What happens to the money that's in there?
Senator Maher, through the chair, we're trying not to, we at the division don't really talk about it as an escrow. We talk about it as a non-paid dividend. So we would determine that the applicant would be conditionally eligible, and those funds would just be held in the dividend fund, not for that particular person. They wouldn't, you know, they would be told that they were conditionally eligible, but we wouldn't have, you know, a separate account for them. They would just, their money would be part of a fund, and at the point where they return, and they would have to apply every year, and we would determine their eligibility, and at the point where they returned, then they would be able to collect those dividends. Kind of works the same way we do for the children now who don't get a dividend or miss one while they're kids. They come back when they're 18, and if we can figure out that they would have been eligible, we pay them.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Kukesh.
I was just thinking about the numbers of people who don't come back, and the return is really low. Have you had a chance to look at it to see whether how many of those people don't come back because maybe one, they're deceased, or because an illness has kept them out for it? Or maybe they're deceased for two reasons, war or illness.
Senator Kukesh, through the chair, the 81 people that I looked at were military. Mostly all, if not all, were out for a military absence.
I know, I'm just talking about the people who didn't come back.
Oh, that would be everybody else. And a whole bunch of military,
maybe
too.
A lot of those didn't come back because they were deceased. I mean, we don't have the statistic, right?
No, we don't. And so you never really know why they didn't come back. No, you don't.
That's the question. There's
a lot of unknowns. We really only know what we get for applications and, you know, what their situation is when they apply.
Senator Passman.
The 90% is kind of what is the most troubling to me, and I appreciate the intent language. You know, what is your guesstimate, estimate, whatever you want to call it, as far as are we going to get just to 75% still aren't coming back that have received dividends for a long time? Or are we going to get closer to 10%? Is that you know.
Through the chair, Representative, or Senator Passman, I'm sorry. It is impossible for me to guess that. I would say that it will be a significant change in what you see from what you see now. I really believe that, that by putting these regulations in statute, the division will have tools that it can use.
How much of an administrative burden, if any, would it be to retain the non-paid dividend? In other words, to where, you know, you just say, look, we have, so to speak, both barrels of the shotgun. We have the intent here, and we have the non-paid dividend.
Mm-hmm.
How much of a burden, if any, is that?
Through the chair, Senator Pascan, it's not substantial. The division is set up to do eligibility and to make payments, and this is actually kind of just a tweak in our payment system and telling it what to do. So administratively, it has not a huge impact to the division.
I mean, my, again, just talking out loud, I mean, my intent, if it's not much of a burden, and I can't imagine why anyone on the House, in other words, I don't want to kill the bill. That's not what I'm intending on doing, because I think we got two good concepts here of increasing the intent and making sure that people that have been gone for a long, long time don't continue to scam the state. So can it work? I mean, that's
well, here's, you know, we, I know everyone's busy. I appreciate, I said earlier, for those that weren't here, I really appreciate everyone's time. I know it's end of session. We've got three options. We can go with the House version, we can go with this version, or we can recess to the call of the chair while we try to figure out which one we want to do, or do something in between. Senator Kukesh.
I'll do either one. My only concern, because I think they both have merit. I'm like Senator Pascoe, they have merit. I want to see, though, something that gives her the tools that will pass the Senate and be available to her right now. And if there's a chance, and I'd like Representative Figge to tell me that, if there's a chance that if we make an amendment, he has to go back to concurrence, whether or not he can make it through the other body. His guess is better than mine. I know we can get it through this side.
Well, and I'll just say this, the concept that we've proposed in the CS was actually a bill that was filed several years ago, which had filed in the House. It had probably about 20 co-sponsors on it, including many of whom are still there.
And I have no problem with that. My problem is with the timing.
Right.
That's all. I could vote for both. They would both have merit.
Do we want to take do we want to recess to the call of the chair so we can
like
try to hash this out?
President Figge on his analysis of whether or not, because we don't know how long it would sit in rules on this side and when it would come to the floor and then having to go back over. I want to give the tools to the permanent fund and do it, but I would like to hear from
Representative Feige, do you have anything else you want to add to in response to Senator Kukesh?
And for the record, Representative Eric Feige from District 12. I believe it's the Y version was the intermediate.
Yes.
Version.
Right. There's a Y version. There was a, which I believe we adopted yesterday. The version before us now is K. And, of course, there's the House version.
Obviously, I would recommend adopting the House version. The K version, the Y version, and I have not seen a copy of the Y version yet, but I believe that's, Mr. Chairman, what we had discussed as far as reinstituting the 10-year rule, but with the, leaving the exclusion in for military?
Yes.
Okay. I can probably get, I guess we would probably recommend concurrence, Senator Kukesh, on that version. I'm not sure we could get concurrence on the K version.
Interesting.
It would be just too much of a change.
Okay. Senator Meyer.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think, actually, Representative Feige, aren't you on record that you would recommend not concur on the K version because of the change? Probably
correct. I believe it would be too much of a change. Not enough folks on the House side would basically want to take some time to analyze it. The Y version is a relatively simple change. The various committees on the House had debated the merits of the 10-year rule back and forth. They're pretty familiar with that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think we need to do what we think is the right public policy, of course. But I think Senator Kukish is correct too, that if you don't concur, then you do a conference committee on a Sunday afternoon, and who knows what's going to be happening on that day. I would say we're running short on time.
All right. What's the will of the committee? Do we want to? We've got the House version. We've got the Y version. We've got the K version. We also have the option of delaying to the call of the chair, and while we try to sit down and analyze and think a little bit more about it.
I'll do whatever the chair wants to do. I just brought up my concern.
Okay. Why don't we recess to the call of the chair and give members an opportunity? It's an important policy call. It's a good bill. I appreciate you bringing it forward. I think there's merit, and certainly merit in what you're doing. There's certainly merit in what we're doing. Anytime you try to tinker with the permanent fund, you got to be very careful what you do. And Alaskans take that very seriously. And so I think giving members a little bit of time to gather their thoughts and try to make sure we're doing the right thing. So if I'm going to recess to the call of the chair, and we'll be in touch with your offices.
Version / Y from this committee to the next committee, a referral with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Okay, so that's a motion to move version Y out of committee. Have we, and just for the court reporter, are we good with that motion?
I can get it. I haven't gotten it all up to FDR.
Okay, do you need us to adopt the Y and then move it, or are you okay?
We adopted K.
Because we adopted K. So can I get a motion to adopt version Y, CS?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Okay. So version Y is before us. Now, Senator Pastrana, can I get a motion to move version Y out of committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Is there any objection? Seeing none, the bill's moved.